Good morning. Thank you, Tammy, for reading the scripture. My name is Steve Young. I'm one of the elders, if you don't know me, and let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, as Paige prayed, and we pray that you would speak to us through your word, through your spirit. Father, that we might put your love into action. And we might reach out to those that you've placed in our spheres of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Three words and phrases that we're going to focus on this morning. Pray, give thanks for all people. These three are all expressed in verse 1 of the passage that Tammy shared. And that's going to be our focus this morning. It is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so we want to talk about Thanksgiving for a moment. It was first celebrated 400 years ago. Did you realize it's been 400 years? Pretty cool, huh? 400 years ago. And we all know the story, so we're not going to talk about that. But we are going to be reminded of two godly presidents. First, George Washington, who was elected to be our first president in January of 1789. And this is what he said. He called for an official celebratory day of public thanksgiving and prayer. And initially, it was celebrated annually, but not every year. And then later on, Abraham Lincoln, in the midst of the Civil War, made a presidential proclamation. This is part of what he said. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. So in a sense, we are celebrating as a nation Thanksgiving this week, because of how God used these two men to set it aside as a special day. We're going to be talking about two aspects of Thanksgiving, the vertical component and the horizontal component. We've already talked about the vertical component some. Colin read Psalm 100, a great psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And some of you prayed and thanked God for certain things. And so it's very important as we think about Thanksgiving to direct our focus on God. He is the one who has blessed us with all that we have. We need to thank him. But as we're going to see in the passage this morning, there's also a horizontal component of Thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Pray and give thanks for all people. That's the focus. That's the focus of verse 1, and that's the focus of our time together. Now in that first verse, there are three words that talk about prayer. Prayer is mentioned, and prayer again is a general, it's a very broad expression of communication with God. But there's also two specific words that are used. One is supplication, and a supplication is just to ask for something. And then the word intercession is also used. And intercession is asking on behalf of somebody else. So it's a supplication for somebody else. So these three terms about prayer are used in that opening verse. And when you connect that with all people at the end of the verse, you realize we are to pray, to make supplications, to make intercession on behalf of all people. Now, that's very easy when you think about your family, because most of us are probably praying often for our family and our friends. And then maybe it declines a little bit as we think about our colleagues, our neighbors, strangers, people we don't even know. And what about our enemies? You know, it starts strong and then it just kind of... But when the scripture says for all people, it means all people. And especially as you think about Matthew 5:44, it says that we are specifically to pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies. So if we want to be faithful and obedient to this call to pray and give thanks, it's for all people. But not only are we to pray, we're to give thanks. And I love words like thanksgiving, where the word itself tells you, when you reverse the order, what it means, a compound word. Thanksgiving simply means to give thanks. And once again, it relates to all people. Family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, strangers, enemies. Again, Matthew 5:44 and also Luke 6:27 says that we're not only to pray for our enemies, we're to love them and to do good. That's funny, isn't it? Yeah, we'd like to do them good, wouldn't we? Yeah. But that's what God says, because that's who God is. That's who God is. So we need to realize that when we talk about praying and giving thanks for all people, it's not always easy, because it involves people who don't like us. Maybe people who are trying to bring us down, to do something to us. I found Paul's example very interesting, because when you look at what Paul says, he opens many of his letters with something like, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you." That's to the Romans. Corinthians, "I thank my God always concerning you." In Corinthians, "We always give thanks to God for all of you." 1 Thessalonians, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you." 2 Thessalonians, "And but we should always give thanks to God for you." So not only did Paul express those things, that was his heart. He was thanking God for the people that he was writing to, but he wanted them to know that he was thanking God for them. That's why he included it in his letter. And it's exciting when somebody comes up and says, "Roger, Steve, Sean, whoever, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. I'm praying for you." That's a great encouragement. And we have that opportunity to encourage one another. Now, I just want to pause for a minute, and I'm going to ask each of us to pray for the person on the left of us and to pray for the person on the right of us. And if you're on the ends, pray for the person behind you on the aisle or in front of you on the aisle. And we're going to pray for the sound people, and we're going to pray for the guys, the men and women who are doing the kids' praise and worship. So we're all going to take a minute and pray for the person on either side of us. You may not know them. Maybe they're a stranger. I hope by the end of the service you will meet them at least. But everybody in here is going to be prayed for this morning. And we're going to thank God for the person on our right or our left or behind us or whatever. So just take a minute and I'll close this out. Father, we thank you for just being able to take a minute and to thank you for the people beside us and in front of us and behind us. And Lord, to pray that you would be at work in their lives today. Amen. Isn't it nice you come to church and you know somebody prayed for you? Woohoo! All right, let's move on. As we move into verse 2, we see that our prayers are not just for all people, but there's a specific component, and that's for those in authority over us. And there are several reasons why Paul put that in there. First of all, God has put them there. We know there's nobody in position of leadership and authority that God has not placed there. Sovereignly, he's put them there so that they can help keep order, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And this pleases God. This is pleasing to God. You know, sometimes it's hard to pray for someone in authority over you, like your boss or some of our political leaders or whatever, because we may not agree with them. Doesn't matter. God tells us to pray for them because it's to our benefit to pray for them and to pray that God would work in them and through them for our benefit. goes on in verse 4 to tell us why we need to pray and give thanks for these people. And there are two things here that God desires for all people. First, for them to be saved. And secondly, for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. So in terms of salvation, the gospel needs to be presented to all people without any restriction or limitation. Amen? Do all people need to hear about Jesus? Yes. That's what God has told us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. All people, they need to hear. They need to have the opportunity to hear. But part of that is not just trying to get them to pray a prayer or something like that. They need to come to a knowledge of the understanding of the truth. They need to gain some insight, some information, some understanding of who Jesus is and why he came. That they are sinful and Jesus came to die for our sins and so on. So it's not just about praying a prayer. It's coming to the knowledge of the truth of who Jesus is and why he came and how he relates to us. They cannot be saved apart from him. How can this happen? Verses 5 and 6 tell us. First of all, that there's one God and one mediator or negotiator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the mediator. He's the negotiator between God and men. What's interesting, when Jesus was born, when Jesus took on humanity, it was forever. He will forever be the God-man. Aren't you excited? He will always be there with us, that we can relate to him as the God-man. Jesus gave himself as a ransom. We were captive to our sin and worthy of condemnation and destruction and punishment by God. And Jesus stepped in and said, I'm going to take your place. We were hostage, and he came and he took our place so that we were no longer a hostage. And yet, because of our sin, he had to die. He had to make an atonement for our sin so that there would be no charges against us. And he did that for everyone. When he took our place, it was for everyone. There was enough of Jesus for everyone. And, you know, some people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere, or there are many ways to God. And that's not true. There's only one way to God. The only way to God comes through Jesus. Amen? Because he was the one who ransomed us. He is the one who rescued us. He is the one who saved us, who delivered us. So we're going to summarize these three verses in the reverse order. Christ gave himself as a ransom for all people. He took our place. That was something that he did. We didn't do anything. He did it all. Secondly, God desires for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's something that God desires. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He desires for everybody to respond to his grace and his mercy. And number three, in light of those, we should pray, give thanks for all people. Pray and give thanks for all people. So you see that we have a role to play. God took care of the first two, and he gave us an opportunity to be involved through praying and giving thanks for all people. So let's talk a little bit more about what that looks like. We have a role to play. Are you excited that you have a part? Well, I hope you are. Because think about your own life, and we're going to have a chance to talk more about this question during our life application. Who was it that prayed for you as you came to know Jesus? Think about your, was there somebody in your life that you know about who prayed for you and that as a result that helped you to come to know Jesus? Well, I want to tell you a little bit about my family. My mother had two brothers and two sisters. And one of her brothers never married, but the other two, but her two sisters and her other brother all had two children. My father had a brother and a sister. They both married and had two children. And my mother and father, when they got married, they had two children, my brother and I. So you're seeing six parents, sets of parents, all of them with two children, okay? Between my mother's side and my father's side. Now, as far as I know, growing up, and I don't know about today, there were only two of those 12 children that came to know Jesus. My brother and I. Now, some of my cousins may have come to know Jesus later, but as far as I know, it's my brother and I. And for a number of years, I thought, why? You know, we were all similar. Some of our families went to church, some didn't, but we were all similar, all similar. We spent a lot of time together as families. And then it hit me one day. Next door to where we lived was an elderly woman, Mrs. Stoltz. She had an unmarried son and daughter who lived with her and took care of her. And when I'd see her occasionally, you know, when I'd see her, she would always say to me and my brother, "You are my boys. You are my boys." And I believe that woman prayed for my brother and I every day of our lives until she went to glory. And I am convinced that my brother and I came to know Jesus in large measure because of the prayers of Mrs. Stoltz. Now, God knows the situation. But when we pray for somebody, it makes a difference. And so think about your own life. Who was it that God, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but who was praying for you as God was calling and drawing you to himself? Second part, sharing the gospel with all people. Who shared with you? Was it a pastor in a church? Was it on television? Was it a Billy Graham crusade? Was it on the internet? You have a story, and think about who God used in your life to lead you to Christ. Maybe it was a group. You're going to have a chance to talk about that too in life application group time. But as we share, we don't know who's going to respond and who's not. God does, but we don't know. And I know you are all prepared to share because several weeks ago we talked about writing out our testimony, didn't we? And helping you to prepare so that you can tell somebody else what Jesus has done in your life. It's that simple. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you're just telling your story of what God did in your life. Very effective, very meaningful. I love the story of Mark 2, 1 to 12, where Jesus deals with the paralytic. It's one of my favorite stories. And what I love about that story so much is there was a man who was paralyzed. And I'm sure he had been to the doctors, he had been to the specialists, people were praying for him, they were trying to help him, but nothing changed the fact that he was paralyzed until his friends decided, we need to get this guy to Jesus. And so you know the story, they carried him to where they thought Jesus would be. Now, if you think about Jesus, everywhere he went, there was a crowd. And so he had just come back to Capernaum. He's in the house, and there was a crowd. Now think about if Jesus came to your house, could you handle a crowd of 100? Could you handle a crowd of 1,000? Could you handle a crowd of 5,000 at your house? You know, that's how it was when Jesus went anywhere. It was a crowd. And as his friends brought him, there was a crowd. And they realized, we need a plan B because the door is not accessible. And you know the story, how they carried him up on the roof and they dug a hole in the roof and lowered him down to Jesus. And you know what's so fascinating about that story? It said when Jesus saw the faith of his friends, we don't even know if the guy wanted to be there or not. We don't know if he knew of Jesus, if he loved Jesus, or he wanted any parts of Jesus. He was kind of captive because they were carrying him. But it says when Jesus saw the faith of his friends, he healed a man, right? Is that what happened? No. It says he forgave his sins. See, they thought they knew what the man's biggest need was. They thought his biggest need was to be healed. And Jesus said, no, there's a bigger need. It's salvation. It's forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus forgave his sins. And later on, he said, just so you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he healed the man. So that was a secondary issue. But the point I'm trying to make is, it was his friends, their faith, their belief, their prayers, their actions that Jesus was moved by, and he healed and saved the man. So we have a part to play in praying for people, in telling them, God does the saving, we do the praying and the giving thanks and the telling. A couple concluding statements here. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you meet somebody, we have pretty good radar and antenna. We pretty much know when somebody comes up to us why they're there. Whether it's because they care about us, they're really interested in us, or they have an agenda. We know, don't we? We know. There's no agenda, just care. Just care. Love them. Care for them. What does it feel like, and some of you probably had this experience, what does it feel like when somebody comes up to you unsolicited and says, I'm praying for you. I prayed for you yesterday. Or I thank God for you. How does it make you feel? Great, great. We all love to be encouraged and affirmed. That's what happens when we pray and we thank God for people. Yes, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, strangers, even enemies. And sometimes if you go up to somebody maybe you're at odds with and tell them you're praying for them, whoa, they may fall over or they may respond in a different way. I don't know. But God tells us to pray and to give thanks for all people. This may be kind of hard for some of us, but the most selfish thing we can ever do is to keep Jesus too and for ourselves. Let me read that again. The most selfish thing we can ever do is to keep Jesus to and for ourselves. Is that who Jesus is? No, Jesus went everywhere to everybody. God desires for everyone to know, to be saved, and come to the knowledge of the truth. But sometimes we're comfortable in our relationship with Jesus because of all that he has done for us. And we neglect to talk to somebody else about him so that they can have the same experience. So I want to pause again now, just for another minute. I don't know who you are. I don't know what's on your mind. But if you need to repent and confess that maybe this has been true of you to some extent, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that right here and right now. So let's just pray silently to ourselves and talk to God however he leads you. Father, forgive us for keeping Jesus to ourselves. Father, help us to share the most glorious gift ever given that we receive freely. Help us to share Jesus with others, with all people. Amen. I'm going to share a little story with you. This happened a number of years ago. I don't remember, I've lived in different places. I don't remember where I was living. All I know is I was sitting at my desk, and the best way to describe this was some kind of vision, where I'm sitting at my desk in my chair, and somebody comes up and puts their hand on my shoulder. I have no idea who this person was. I don't know if they were a man or a woman. I don't know if they were a student, a child. I don't know if they were alive or dead. I don't know where I was, but this is what they said. Steve, how come you never told me about Jesus? Steve, how come you never told me about Jesus? You know, because I didn't know anything about the situation, there was no opportunity to try and rationalize or explain it away, because I didn't even know who it was, where it was, when it was, or anything. And I can tell you, I was crushed because it hit me like a train. I had no response. I was guilty. I was laid bare by the reality of the fact that there was at least one person that I had never told about Jesus, and they were confronting me. They were calling me out. And I thank God for that experience, and I wish I would think about that every day of my life, because it's sobering to think at some point somebody could come up and say, Steve, why didn't you? Didn't you care? Didn't you love me? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? And I thank God for giving this message and God reminding me of this very experience. And I give you permission, whenever you see me, you can ask me, Steve, are you still remembering your story? Because I don't want to forget that feeling. I don't want to forget what God gave to me that day. Let's talk about a little bit application about pray and give thanks for all people. We have a 6-week window starting today and going to Sunday, January 2nd. There's 6 weeks. And during that 6 weeks, we have Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day. 3 big holidays, celebration, parties, all the food, feasting, all that goes on. And the interesting thing is, during this time period, people are more open because they're celebrating, they're not working, they're enjoying, and they're more available to talk and meet and get together and do things. And so we have an opportunity to seize this openness and to be very intentional. And a couple weeks ago, as I was mowing grass, God put these thoughts on my mind. That yes, there's a 6-week opportunity here, and what am I going to do about it? And I thought, I have a strategy. And my strategy goes back to the story. Those of you who have been here for a while, you know, in October of 2020, we started with the story, and we went through May of 2021 with the story. Every week we're reading a chapter and so on. And during that time, our strategy was basically threefold. We wanted to give the story to our neighbors, wanted to give it to people that we see regularly, doctors, medical professionals, clerks, people that we just run into, mechanics, bankers, and so on. And we wanted to give it to our friends, our family, close. And so we were able to give out a number of copies of the story. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity to kind of continue that outreach. You know, last week when Paige was sharing his vision, he talked about prayer, he talked about outreach, and he talked about evangelism, the things he wants to see developed. And this is an opportunity for those. So, I want to make it clear. This is not about me and Sheila, okay? God gave us this, but this is about, I share this not to make us look good or that we're doing something. It's not about that at all. I share it to maybe create a spark. Maybe by what I share, God will impress something on you that you can do. So please don't think this is about me. But I want to tell you what we're doing. Friday, I mailed out a Thanksgiving card. I had a couple, you know, bought some cards at Walmart, Thanksgiving cards. And I mailed out 12 to, there's 17 families in our subdivision, and I mailed cards out to 12 people because there's some families we don't know, and I didn't want to go there because I don't know them. So I mailed out one of these cards, put their names at the top, we signed it, and I wrote this in. We thank you, we thank God for giving us, and I either use the word good or great. You know, some of them are good neighbors, and then there's some that are great neighbors, okay? And you know the difference if you live. You know the difference between a good neighbor and a great neighbor. So I put good in some cases, I put great in some cases. So we thank God for giving us great neighbors like you, and we pray that God will enable you to experience the realities of Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. Does anybody know what Psalm 139, 17, and 18 says? Oh, well, you're going to have to look it up, aren't you? You see? I could have written that out too. But no, I would rather them go to the scripture, find it, and read and discover it for themselves. But I am going to tell you what it says. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Do you ever think about how much God thinks about it? His thoughts toward us are beyond measure. God is always thinking about us. He cares about us. He's interested in providing and caring and doing things for us. And every day when we wake up, he's still there. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing to think that we have a God like that. And so my hope is that they would go look it up and they would be blessed and encouraged to realize that God cares about them so much. Let me go back. Last night, I got a text from one of my neighbors. So I mailed them Friday, and at least this one neighbor got it yesterday. So that was pretty cool. You know, the mail today is, you know, you hope they get it before Christmas, but it's just crazy. So I mailed it Friday. They got it yesterday and said, thank you. They go, oh, man, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So I know at least somebody got it. That was encouraging. Okay. Then what about, you know, our medical professionals, accountants, mechanics, bank tellers, post office, and so on? Well, a couple of them I mailed on Friday. But tomorrow, Sheila and I have a bunch of medical appointments. I have three, she has one. It's not that I'm sick, it's just when I schedule my medical appointments or the beginning of the week of Thanksgiving. So tomorrow, we'll give out four to our medical professionals. And sometimes, you know, they're nurse or whatever, so, and others. And then, this is the one I think is maybe most applicable to where you're coming from. Thanksgiving, Thursday's Thanksgiving, amen? Anybody going to eat? Okay. So this strategy, it doesn't matter whether you're hosting, people are coming to your house, or you're going to somebody else's house. You can give everybody who's there that you know. You know, you may be in a situation where people are invited that you don't know, and, you know, I'm not suggesting that. I wouldn't send a card, give a card to somebody I don't know. I think it would be a little bit inappropriate. But there's going to be 12 of us at our middle daughter's house on Thanksgiving. And so, you know, Sheila and I will give a card to each person. And obviously this will be much more personal because, you know, these are our kids and grandkids and relatives. And so what we thank them for is not just that they're a good neighbor. No, you know, we know them. We thank God that they're this or that. And as we pray for them and as we indicate something we're praying for, we know their situations, we know some of their needs, and so we can be very specific on that as well. So just a thought, and if you're Hokies, you know, you can even find these with turkeys on them, so, you know, they have the Hokie edition. I don't know what will happen, but I want to take seriously what we saw in verse 1, to pray and give thanks for all men. Pray and give thanks for all women. Pray and give thanks for all students, for all children, for all people. And this is a very, in some ways, simple way to at least tell somebody, I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you. And just trusting that God would use that simple act of love and kindness to impact them in some way. So, this is the application. It's a horizontal component of thanksgiving to pray and give thanks for all people. So, I appreciate the opportunity to share these things with you. I'm going to close in prayer. The band is going to come up. Isn't it nice to have a band? Yeah, the band's going to come up and pray, and then Paige is going to give a benediction at the end. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. We praise you and bless your name for your goodness, your kindness, Father, the many ways that you have provided for us. And spiritual blessings, physical blessings, health and prosperity. And Lord, we realize as a result of this passage that, Lord, your desire is for us to pray and give thanks for all people. To pray especially for those in authority over us, because this is pleasing to you. But Lord, to pray for all people because your desire is that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we also recognize that Jesus came to die for all people. And Lord, we just thank you for the chance to be used by you to pray for them, to give thanks for them. And Father, as you provide opportunities to tell them about Jesus, Father, deliver us from selfishness, from complacency where we would keep or want to keep Jesus to ourselves. We thank you there's enough Jesus for everybody. And Father, we pray that through us, you might share the gospel, not only in Stanton and Augusta County, but around the world. We love you and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.